All right, good evening. Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw, where we have our wrap-up of the previous week's messages. And the previous week, all of our messages were on fix your focus. So tonight, we wrap it up with our questions, with our recap, and just be able to close out the week with our Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. the Learning Center. So let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Talius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy. How are you?
I'm doing well tonight, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, doing wonderful. Just ready to get ready for this call. So we want to go ahead and dive in it. And if you don't mind, go ahead and open this up with prayer, please.
All righty. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here tonight, Lord, for gathering us all together. Lord, we pray that as we go into this call that each of us is emboldened with the spirit of boldness, Lord, that we speak out on your behalf and that we gather in the word that you're going to give all of us tonight and use it for our good, Lord, for our growth, for our nourishment, for us to continue to foster the relationship that we're developing with you, Lord. And, Lord, we pray that each and every word that goes forward tonight lines up with your will for each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get started. We have tonight, Ms. Candy, you want to tell everybody the topic again that we're speaking on?
Fix your focus.
Fix your focus. Where has your focus been? Now, y'all already know we always keep Mr. DJ with us in on Monday Night Raw as we learn more about the Word of God. But tonight, guest, didn't know there was going to be a guest, but tonight we have with us Ms. Tiana Simmons. Oh, Ms. Tiana Simmons. Ms. Tiana, how are you doing this evening? Is she there, Ms. Candy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, and yourself?
Doing wonderful, doing wonderful. So are you prepared to go? Get to hear what's Mr. DJ?
Let's do it.
All right. Is Mr. DJ there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Mr. DJ?
All right. Feeling good.
Good deal. But, Mr. DJ, you know how we always do. We're going to open up with a little intro from you from this past week. What you got for us?
It's time to shift your focus in the right direction. A basic synopsis of the week is we need to take self out of the equation, not just verbally, but mentally, physically, any way you want. Take yourself out of it and shift the focus into what God's plan is. If you put Him first with everything, then anything that you think you want will fall in place. That basically sums it up right there. If we would just stop and shift that focus, you know, it's a new year, new beginning. A lot of people saying, well, yeah, this year we want to do this, or this year I want this, or this year that. You know, take the opportunity. Take that opportunity to further serve God and to basically be a utensil. Be something that God could utilize in blessing someone else, and you will see the true blessing in that. But to even go anywhere, you must deny yourself and get out of this selfishness of things that we always want. You know, we say, bless me, bless me, bless me, give me, give me, give me. And oftentimes, when you keep doing that and you get something, then you forget all about God. So what I'm saying is basically what I took from everything is basically to, you know, take yourself out of that equation. And you need to start doing things, you know, according to His word and to His will, you know, and you'll fit in there. That equation was set long before you even got here. So just think about it like that.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for that, Mr. DJ. Ms. Candy, so we're going to get started with a call. Fix your focus. And y'all know we have some emails that we like to answer.
Okay? Mr. Carr?
Yes.
We do have a caller who's already raised their hand.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, with that being said, let us get to our caller.
All right. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question.
Good evening, everyone. Okay, one of the questions that I have is, it says, as a result of infidelity issues, my husband got another woman pregnant. Since then, we have been going to counseling to try and save our marriage. How do I fix my focus on forgiving him and forgetting how he betrayed me when the child is a constant reminder of what he did?
That's the bill. I'm going to start with you first. Miss Tiana, what you got, Miss Tiana?
Well, let's start with what God calls us to do, right? And I know in this type of situation, the person may be thinking, but I keep seeing this. But that's okay, because a child is a gift no matter what. That child didn't ask for anything, but it's here. And all we can do is love on our children. God tells us to teach them, right? And to love on them in and through everything. But how do you forgive him? You forgive them as God has forgiven you. How many things have we done to God? How many times have we cheated on him? How many times have we stepped out and gone against everything that God has called us to do? If we're looking to God to forgive us for all the things that we have done, then we also have to forgive those that we see. We've got to forgive those who we are spending the rest of our lives with. And remember, when we're married, we are together, we are one. So God looks to us, husband and wife, as one. So in that instance, you need to come together with your husband and be able to walk through that forgiveness together and be able to seek God for all the answers when it comes to reconciling what has caused. Look at those things and be able to do so together.
All right. Mr. DJ, what you got?
Well, Mr. Carr, I don't know if I'm politically correct, but I'm feeling a different type of way. You know, the Bible clearly defines marriage, and it does also define parameters upon which to divorce. I hear what you're saying in terms of I hear what the caller is saying in terms of the counseling. First of all, yes, you do have to forgive that man, your husband. And Ms. Tiana is absolutely correct. That child did not ask to be here. I don't think the child is to blame or have anything to do with the way you feel about that husband. Whether he had a child or not, there's some issues that should have been repaired or per counseling before you even got to that point. The fact that the caller said infidelity issues means that he probably has done this before. And yes, everybody does deserve a second chance, but again, the Bible clearly states the parameters for divorce. However, there are some times where you have to take a step back, and you can still forgive that person. I'm not saying don't forgive that person, because you must do that. You'll do more harm to yourself if you don't forgive that person. And don't factor that child into the equation of you guys' relationship. I think if you stick to those two guidelines about the Bible and what thus says God's word and deal with your husband based on that, then I think you'll be all right.
Good feedback. What you got to say about that, Miss Candy?
I would say it's interesting to bring up the part about divorce, because that is something that is stated, but divorce was given after they asked for it. That wasn't the way that it was intended to be. So I think we should be very careful when we throw that out there, because, yes, you can divorce for infidelity, but that's not the way that it was originally set up. And if we're focused on becoming more like Christ, then it's going about it in His way. I'm not saying that God would never tell you to separate, but that should not come into our mind as our first inclination, because that's not the way that He set it up. It wasn't His intent for a man and woman to separate or divorce. It was what men and women wanted and asked for, and thus He permitted it. As far as the forgiveness is concerned, it's very, very challenging when you have a reminder in front of you. And I know a few people who have been in this situation and are still married to this day. One of them, the child is now, I think, 17. And watching them go through it as I was younger, it was always interesting because the wife never treated that child differently, but she treated the husband differently for a very long time. So I will say, first and foremost, you have to make sure that you're in right standing with God. We're talking about fixing our focus and becoming more like God as a part of it. So we can't just say we forgive. We actually have to seek out God's face and see what that looks like. Be transparent with God. Be transparent with the other person. I want to forgive you. I'm trying to forgive you. And every time that we find ourselves mistreating that person because of what they did, that's when we have to go back to that chastisement of ourselves and really check yourself. Because once you've forgiven someone, once you've given it over to God, you cannot continue to hold them responsible. You can't keep throwing it back up in their face. And I know it's difficult because we are living in this human flesh, but that's why we have to be willing to chastise ourselves. Have an accountability partner, somebody who's going to keep you in check. You said that you were going to forgive. You said that you were going to give it to God and move forward. And have, you know, actually have someone help you to do that, because it is a process, especially when there's a child involved. But make sure that you're focused on doing it in God's way and not what man asked for and then was allowed.
Mm-hmm. Also, Mr. Carr, yes. I would like to pose a question to the caller. You know, if you never really went into detail about the other woman being involved. I mean, who's to say that that child won't be raised by her own mom? You know, accepting the child is, to me, that's the easy part. I mean, there's a difference if that child has to be there, like saying a constant reminder. You know, we have situations now where, you know, the father sees the child every other weekend, every other holiday. But when you pose the question, there's a big difference in, take for instance, a woman can cheat. If a man can cheat 1,000 times, and we always tell the woman, forgive him, forgive him, forgive him, take him back. But let a woman cheat once, and most men are gone. You pose that same question, gender specific, to a man, and say, your woman went out, not only cheated, but has another man's baby? That's going to change a lot of things. That's why I say, specifically, stay close to the book. Stay close to the Bible when it comes to dealing with that person. Whether that be divorce or stay together, separate, whatever. Stay close to the book and go according to God's word. You've got to forgive that person, like you said, because God forgave you. You know, but at the same time, I also say that child, as Tiana stated earlier, is innocent. That child didn't have to come here. You know, so that's that child. You know, that's still a seed or offspring of your man. You know.
Okay. Fix your problem. Do I have any callers that can chime in on that? Star 5, real quick. You know, just chime in. Tell me your feedback. Any callers out there? Star 5, please. We have anybody, Miss Candy?
We have a caller with a hand raised for a question, but no one new chimed in.
Okay. Well, that's really a really strange scenario.
Yeah, it is.
Simply because you have a child involved, you have marriage involved, you have infidelity involved.
Mm-hmm.
But if the focus is God, that does not necessarily, see, fellowship is not inclusive with forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean fellowship.
Right.
God forgives everybody, correct?
Yes. Correct.
He forgives the people who are going to hell, correct?
Yes.
So since he forgives the people who are going to hell, where's the fellowship? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. Everybody got quiet on me.
It's the truth. Yeah.
Y'all see what I'm talking about?
That's right. That's right.
Pose that question one more time, please.
As a result of infidelity issues, my husband got another woman pregnant. Since then, we have been going to counseling to try and save our marriage. How do I fix my focus on forgiving him and forgetting how he betrayed me when the child is a constant reminder of what he did?
Here's the problem. Now you're dealing with two people who are not faith-led.
Mm-hmm.
Let's delve into this, or should I say dive into this a little deeper. If both individuals was faith-led, even here in recent times, a video is all but damaging to the perpetrator if they are not law enforcement. But when there's video for law enforcement, we have to further investigate.
Come on.
I'm going somewhere with this. But if you're the perpetrator, meaning the person who did something against law enforcement or a crime, and they want you, the video is all telling. You know how the world says, man, the video just damaged everything, though. Ray Rice, huh? They knew that he told his employees, the Baltimore Ravens, the football player, y'all, that he had an incident with his wife where he beat his wife. The impact wasn't great. But to a faith person, I don't need to see it. I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't think y'all caught me with that one. So why does the child have to be the reminder as opposed to the infidelity in general?
Yes, Lord.
We missed the whole point. It went over our head because our focus is not on God. That means you're dealing with two people that are not faith-based. Now, the one who may be closer to God would say they are faith-based, but why did it take the child for you to say, I don't know if I can do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So much so that the Bible says, see, God said he don't need to see a sin. The Bible says you commit sin when you think about somebody else. Oh, my, my, my.
Mm-hmm.
So when our focus is on God, see, my thing is whether you had a child or not, I'm going to still gauge it the same way because I can forgive you, and I will forgive you, but that don't mean I'm going to be with you if God don't choose for it to be that way. Do not let the baby be the determination of whether you stay or whether you go.
Correct.
Because if the baby is the determination of whether you stay or whether you go, it wasn't about the infidelity. It was about what you see. That means you're operating in the natural and not operating in the spiritual. In other words, somebody can be pregnant with sin and birthing sin every day, and you're okay with it as long as physically nothing shows up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think y'all hear me. See, infidelity, people have this misconception that infidelity, fix your focus, is strictly marital affairs, meaning sexual content. But infidelity has anything that does with, you know, making undefiled. Infidelity means you bringing sin. You can be cursing. You can be listening to ratchet music. You can be smoking. You can be
know, cheating on your taxes, that is infidelity. I think somebody needs to look up the right definition.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The reason why I say this is because this is where a lot of us get it messed up, even in the natural, y'all. This is when we go to things that say, such as, I'm going to practice abstinence. Because we think that it's the sexual part that's going to bring us closer to God. But you're still an infidel because you're still cheating with the world with your thought patterns. Just because you don't have sex, you're still doing a whole bunch of other things that God said you are creating infidelity between you and him.
Yes.
So to the milk drinkers, they stuck on the babies. But to the mature, Mr. DJ, Miss Candy, Miss Tiana, to y'all, see, y'all know better. Y'all know it's not about the baby. It's about the direction that God wants you to go. Huh? Y'all know that to be true, right?
That's right.
Because I want to remind y'all, and I'm going to let them answer. Y'all talk about, Mr. Carr, you answering everything. Why you got them on here? My bad. Shh. I'm going to be quiet. Wanna look. And I do want to throw my little 2 cents in.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to remind y'all of Mary and Joseph. Joseph, y'all see it?
Come on.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. 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 Do y'all really believe in God? Because if you really believe in God, you do know that Jesus was born by way of a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all really believe in God? So if you believe in God, anybody want to answer this question that the caller just had?
Hmm.
Now, he could have left, but God told him to stay by way of angels. But see, sometimes we still leave because we don't have that relationship with God, and we say, God ain't gonna make me no fool. Well, I wonder if Joseph would have said that. Who would have been the covering of Jesus in the natural?
Mm.
Come on, y'all. Y'all got it?
Yes.
When you deal with real-life situations, make sure you deal with them spiritually, via the Bible, because the Bible already have every answer that you need. Fix your focus. Did that help you out? That wasn't talking about you. I'm just messing.
Yes, yes sir, it did. Thank you very much.
All righty. Ms. Candy, let's get to the second email question that you have.
Okay. One here. I'm having technical difficulties. Can we go to our caller and then back to me?
Of course we can.
Okay. Good evening, caller. Can you go ahead with your question, please?
Yes. We talked about tuning out distractions and staying, fix our focus. But what if your distraction is a family member hurting another family member? And you know that you need to stay out of it, but it's just hard. So it's hard to stay focused and let God handle it when you know he should be the one handling it. So how do you distance yourself from that situation?
All righty. Mr. DJ.
Well, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard family member versus family member.
Correct.
That's no reason to stay out of focus with God. I don't enjoy my family members or siblings fighting, so I would definitely step in. I believe God will want me to step in and say and do what I need to do to bring them both to God with me and allow him to work that out instead of them trying to work that out. If they can't agree to disagree, then I need to find a way to both bring them to the Father. I mean, it's just like when you're a kid, and my dad was the only person who could fuss and cuss in the house. And we could be playing around, you know, me and my sisters could be playing around, but when we got serious, you know, everything was all good until we got too loud and it got back to him. Because once he got involved, that was the end of it. And 9 times out of 10, we both got chastised. We got chastised in ways that, you know, we shouldn't have been fighting in the first place. So what I'm saying is, if that's your family, you got to kind of treat it like that. You know, that you need to bring it to Daddy. You need to bring it to our Father, to God, and let them know, hey, you know, we family. We don't need to have to, you know, to go through this, that, or the other.
If it's to a point where you guys are hurting each other, then you need to stop it. And I would still stay focused on God as well as letting those family members know that they also need to join the focus, because that's what's the problem. They're out of focus. That's why they're going back and forth with each other. So that's what I would do. I would redirect them and bring them to what I'm focusing in on.
Okay. Miss Tiana, what you got?
I'm in alignment with Mr. DJ. And as Christians, right, our focus is on God and his word. And his word tells us that when we see our brother or sister in error, we're to go to them in love. And you're talking about your immediate blood family here, your brothers and sisters. Whether they're your brothers and sisters in Christ, your brothers and sisters by blood, brothers and sisters in the world, however you want to look at it, God tells us where to go to them in love. And that your focus on God is what's going to send you in that direction to help bring them to where they need to be. And by ignoring them, then you're not doing the work that God's called you to do. Now, God says to go to them, show them, correct them, and correct them in his word, right? His word is to be used for correction, for rebuke, for teaching, for all those things. And that's focusing on him will allow you to do so and correct in him. That's all I have to share.
All righty. That was interesting. I like that. Can you repeat that one more time, please?
Yes. So how do you tune out the distraction when a family member is hurting another family member? And for me to stay focused, keep my focus on God, and to not try to handle it myself. And that's where I'm coming from at.
This is very common, Mr. DJ. This is very, both of y'all answers was pinpoint. Y'all hit it on the head. Y'all know this is very common?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You know how hard it is to focus on God in the natural?
Yep.
When somebody you love is being hurt by somebody you love as well.
Yes, indeed.
But Miss Candy, I'm going to throw this one out. Do you know how easy it is to focus on God in the natural when somebody you love is being hurt by somebody you love?
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Oh, come on.
Jesus was literally hurt . Y'all can even say God set him up. We got to make sure we focus on God and not our emotions.
That's right.
It's easy for us to intervene when God says no. Grandmamas, granddaddies, uncles, aunties, come on. Don't you want to intervene when somebody whipping their child?
Yeah.
Is your intervention going to help the child? As being chastised, it's not the person that you love that's being hurt, as you see it. Maybe the person that's being chastised is you.
Indeed.
God chastises those we love. Maybe God wants to see how far you're going to let him go by handling it, or are you going to intervene?
Come on.
Could that be it? Because I do believe that if you're sharing everything that God said, meaning you're focused on God and you're fixated on God and you're focused on God and you're doing thus said the Lord, whatever happens after that, so shall it be. You do understand sometimes, just like when you have kids and you tell them, hey, don't hang around that person, and they continue to hang around that person, and you telling them because God told you, sometimes they got to learn the hard way, and the hard way is the natural way. Sometimes a lot of people are hurt by their own will. In other words, a lot of times we put ourselves in positions because we operate in our emotions. And if you're operating in your emotions, what part of faith can you hear?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the trick part. Watch this. If you intervene, how would God get his point through to you and them?
Okay.
I don't think you heard me.
Okay.
If you intervene, come on, somebody. Because why didn't God intervene with Jesus? I don't think y'all heard me.
Mm.
When you focused on God, God didn't intervene with Jesus, although he could have.
That's right.
That's right.
One person would have touched a follicle of hair on his flesh if God had wanted.
So true.
You understand?
That's right.
All right. Sometimes people got to hurt to see God.
Amen.
Did y'all know that?
Yes,
if you keep on bailing people out, somebody attested this about fixing your focus. If you keep on bailing somebody out of financial binds, when will they ever learn to stop getting them?
They won't.
Not at all.
Come on, people. Y'all heard me? You got to fix your focus. Once you've done all that you can do, make sure you let God do all that he intended to do. In other words, frustration. Uh-huh. Y'all remember we talked about this some time ago? Frustration. Y'all remember this, Miss Candy? Frustration sets in on the heart that says, I physically don't understand. But faith sets in and is instilled when the heart says, I don't need to.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
So you look at it as somebody's hurt and God just a smiling because God said, I'm going to get their attention one way or the other. Don't you jump in. I'm going to get their attention one way or the other. Don't you jump in. Did you share me with them? Good. That's all I asked you to do. Did you show me to them? Good. That's all I asked you to do. But when you start overriding me, then we are back at square one. Not only will I have to fix their focus, I'm going to have to fix yours too.
Yes, indeed.
Don't everybody love when they had hard times in life? Didn't that make you a stronger person? Now, what if you lived a life with no hard time, no hurting times? I wonder how weak would you be right now?
Yes, indeed.
We just said last night, fix your focus. You are accountable for your gifts, not the gifts of someone else. In other words, if they don't see the misuse of what's happening and what's going on, who are you to step in? You're not God. You do understand that some people, Lord, I don't. Some people don't care. In other words, if Tiana's doing me wrong and Candy says she's doing me wrong, I may just have natural love for Tiana so much to where it's all good. But I'm still going back to Candy and saying, can you help me out? Well, Candy has the right to say no because I'm not getting involved with something that God doesn't approve of.
Mm.
So if you want to continue to be hurt, that's on you, not me. But you see how I slid God in there?
Mm-hmm.
Fix your focus. Fix your focus. Fix your focus. See, when you start to focus on who it is, now you're going to become emotional. But remember, the Bible says that God has no respect of a person. In other words, it don't matter who it is. If they're not listening to him, it's called sin. If it's not done in faith, it's done. It's called sin. In other words, why keep on being? Why keep on being? Why are you hurt when somebody just don't want to stop sinning?
Yes.
So now you're saying that you love them more than God loved them. Because he ain't hurt. He just waiting.
Amen.
Oh, pin drops. Good. That means we're receiving. I hope that helps you. Okay, here we go. Miss Candy, did it help you? I'm sorry. Did it help you?
Yes, it did.
Okay, I was about to say, she's slain in the spirit. Okay. Ms. Candy, you ready for your email question?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Ms. Tiana, you get answering this first.
Okay. Question says, I struggle with managing the time that I spend in personal Bible study. Should the focus be on spending more time or making sure that whatever time I can manage is spent on key scriptures?
All right. So personal Bible study is an opportunity for growth. It's your time, an intimate time with God. What is it to say what's a key scripture? There are stories being told. There are underlining messages that God has to share in his word. I know for me personally, anytime I read a story again and again and again, each time I get something new out of that message because it's something different that God wants to share with me at that time. So that personal time with Bud in Bible study should be setting a direction. God has a direction for you. Seek him. Look and go with it. Follow through with it because no matter what it is that you read, it is still going to give you something that is not only potentially for you, but for somebody that he is sending your way. So it is about just being prepared for everything that comes your way, no matter if it's just reading or a key verse. I hope that helps.
Okay.
Mr. DJ?
Well, I look at it like this. Your personal Bible study is similar. The focus word here is personal. Time does not matter. If you don't have you can have all the time in the world. You can spend 8 to 12 hours in school and walk out of there and not get nothing. You have to have a personal thirst for the knowledge, and that's how you get fed. That's where your nourishment comes in at. So the more that you want to learn, you will find the time will get there. It's about you and what you want. You know, if you keep, how can I put it? I can put you in a room full of food. If you're not hungry, you're not going to eat. But when you get hungry, you will. So same thing with the knowledge. When you get hungry for the knowledge, when you get thirsty for the knowledge, you will make the time. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. It's about what you're retaining and what you're feasting on. So, I mean, the thing is, what are you studying? Are you just opening the book and saying, hey, I'm going to start here? You know, or are you actually have some focus points and reference points? And you, like Tiana was saying, you're reading a story from the beginning of the story through and thoroughly understanding it. And then maybe have some support scriptures. So it's about, you know, what your focus is shifted on. Is it to gain the knowledge or is it just to get the time?
Good deal. All right, Ms. Candy, what you add with that?
I would agree with both because it has to be about what you're taking away from it. We can spend 8 hours a day reading the Bible and walk away with absolutely nothing. So time is a factor in the sense that if you spend zero time alone with God, that's a problem. But I don't think that we should be looking for a certain number of hours or a certain number of minutes and that be the objective. The objective has to be I'm trying to foster this relationship. And one thing that I can say is when Mr. DJ was talking about when you have that hunger and that thirst, when you really, really want to get into Bible study, you might say to yourself on the outset, oh, I'm going to set up 10 minutes. But once you start reading, the next thing you know, it's 2 hours later. And
amen.
That, you know, you're really tuned into it. So I know that, you know, for some of us, we all have to start somewhere as far as time management. But when you truly have that hunger and thirst that he talked about, it's not going to be something that you have to think, well, I only spent 10 minutes, because you're going to spend so much time, you're going to be engulfed in it.
Good deal, good deal. All right. So do we have any more questions?
Yes, sir.
That was it?
Sir, we do have a caller on the line.
Okay, please, go ahead.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for this evening.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry about my voice. I'm kind of under the weather, but I ain't going to let Satan take my joy, steal my joy this evening. But I wanted to flip the script a little bit. It wasn't a question about how to maintain or fix my focus. Yeah, I just wanted to share my little testimony, what I have been going through for the last couple of months. And me and my boss don't really see eye to eye. And he would send me emails, and instead of me focusing on God and his word, I operated in my feelings. I got emotional when I started, you know, answering his emails, going back and forth with him. Instead of letting God fight my battles, I took it upon myself. And I lost focus in that. This morning when I did call in and I heard Miss Candy, after we prayed, I sat at the table where I can really focus at with my laptop. And after we got off the call, I did my little study, but I also put in a search web, fix your focus. So it brought me to a scripture. And if y'all don't mind, you know, many times that I had conversations with Mr. Carr, and I was like, you know, I don't understand some of these, what the Bible is reading. I'm reading, but I don't understand it. So he told me, he said, Miranda, he said, there's a couple of versions you can look up. And this morning, I have them side by side, which is the Amplified version, and what is the easy to read version. So it brought me to Hebrews 12:2. And this is the easy to read version. Hebrews, I take that back, 12:2-3. We must never stop looking to Jesus. He is the leader of our faith. And he is one who makes our faith complete. He suffered death on a cross, but he accepted the shame of the cross as if it were nothing because of the joy he could see waiting for him. And now he is sitting at the right side of God's throne. And number 3 says, think about it. Jesus, he patiently endured the anger, insults that sinful people were shouting at him. Think about him so that you won't get discouraged and stop trying. I say that to say this. When I read that, I kind of felt like, because I was looking for the answer in man, woman, you know, I had them got discouraged to say, well, I'm just going to quit my job and, you know, just not having faith in God and not humbling myself. And like you said, Mr. DJ, earlier, you got to take yourself out of the equation. So now going forward with these calls going forward, I have a different look on certain situations that I have been challenged on within the last couple of months. But I just wanted to share that, you know, with everybody tonight that it's time for me to analyze myself and fix my focus on what's more important, for me to keep on moving, for me to have the faith and let God lead me and direct me in the right direction. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you for sharing that testimony, and I hope everybody, you know, the key to what she was saying, because these are real life situations and real life things that we encounter, you know, and the jargon that we hear a lot of times, it sounds good, but it lacks power. It lacks the power to keep us consistently focusing on God. And then what happens is when we focus on God here and there, we use God as a lucky charm, meaning he's not our standard, he becomes our charm. Something that I can always fall back on. But God doesn't want you to fall back on him. God wants you to focus on him. Why? See, when you fall back on something, that means it's stashed away. You know, savings account. That's something you don't touch. God don't want to be your savings account.
That's right.
I don't think y'all heard me.
That's right.
God don't want to be your savings account because that means you don't use him readily. Focus on God. Stop focusing on those things that sound good. Stop focusing on those things that people tell you about God, and start focusing on God for yourselves. One of the things that we have to do when we talk about fix our focus is you can't fix something that you don't know is broken.
Yes.
You can't fix something that you don't know how to fix. So when we're saying fix your focus, look at what's happening here. We're saying let God work in and through you. How do you let God work in and through you? That's you learning more about God and allowing him to do it. In other words, Father, I don't know how. Father, I do know how, but I still know it's you that still will get the glory. See, a lot of times we fix our focus when things don't go our way. We get in a jam, and that's when we say, God, I need you. But we need to be saying, God, I need you, so we can get accustomed to doing so, even when we know how to do it.
Amen.
See, don't just call on God when you're in a situation where you are the employee. Call on God when you are the CEO.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Fix your focus and see, the thing is in the battles, then when we're focusing on God, see, when you focus on something, you don't have no time to be crying.
No time.
When you focus on something, you don't have time to be celebrating. When you focus, you have time to be working. That means I can't be bragging about what I done just did because I ain't do nothing. I'm too busy working. You follow me?
Yes.
Huh? Hey, y'all. Miss Miranda just got that new job. She running it. She don't have time to be boasting and bragging. And then we'll use slick stuff. Y'all know we do it. Because our focus ain't right, but we want to give the illusion like our focus good, Miss Tiana, Miss Adija.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say, but God did it. Who you think you slipped? You think you fooled? Now, your focus ain't right. You just want to brag on God. You really not bragging on God. You just want people to know what you got. So the alternative, you know, to the carnal Christian is, let me throw God's name in it.
Mm-hmm.
How we know our focus not fixed? God will put you to the test. God will sin deliberately, because y'all do know that everything happens by way of God, right?
That's right.
Either God ordered it or he allowed it. So what God will do is God will allow some temptations to hover over your life, some distractions,
mm-hmm.
some events that you seem to not like. It may be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said your focus was fixed on God. Well, he conquered everything. Let's see if you're going to conquer this. Because if you're using him, why are we struggling? God never struggled.
Come on.
And he never failed. So when we struggle and fail, that means it was us, not him.
Yes.
Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So you don't have to be somber. You don't have to be somber. You don't have to be down. When we have our focus fixed on God, you go into that thing, go into situations, good, bad, and indifferent. And you go into it with determination that says, hold on, I'm fixated on God. You know, things gonna happen. Y'all, can I tell y'all, look, this testimony, this happened today. I went to a place, check on some mirrors, and the lady at the desk was rude. I've been dealing with this company for over a year and a half now. The last 6-7 months, I've been waiting on an appointment just to get somebody to come up and check on some mirrors for me. Well, in 3 attempts, they have yet to do so. The last attempt, Tuesday, I went last Tuesday last week, talking about fixing your focus. The guy's supposed to come out Thursday or Friday, never came. I gave him a call on Friday, never came. I went in today to see what the deal was. The lady made every excuse in the book. I said, well, you know, I really just want to get this situation handled. And she said, well, the owner, he's normally here, you know, before 7, after 4:30. I said, well, that's not true. I just saw him the other day in here. You know, and I had someone with me, and he was. She just went on, and she's like, so, you know, I turned around. I said, didn't you come here the other day as well? And he was here, yes. The lady just blurted out, you calling me a liar? I said, whoa, let me de-escalate this situation. I said, for one, I have the right to speak with whomever I want to speak with about whatever I want to speak about. But see, what I'm saying is I had to get this lady focused back on the task at hand, which was my appointment. Okay? See, the focus was to get this thing handled. But I know that Satan slipped in. But see, I understood one thing, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, at the conclusion of me walking out the door, the lady picked up a stapler, and the individual I was with, I didn't see it. You know how somebody, you know, she picked up a stapler and acted as if she was trying to throw it, you know, she wasn't going to throw it, but you know how you sometimes, you know, they just make me mad. And she did that, and the individual caught her doing it.
Wow.
And that was another whole conversation. But look at, inside I was smiling. I'm going to tell y'all why I was smiling. Because my thing is, only Satan would try and block the things of God.
Amen.
That's right.
See, when the focus remains on God, I look at it as a blessing. Because only the devil always tries to hinder something that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're so fixated on God, I'm just sitting there walking. I'm like, boy, look, you just don't know. I ain't talking about just me. I'm talking about those who are in God. Walking in God's grace and God's mercy. God watches over his word, you, to make sure it does everything that it's set out to do. You just have to remain focused on him. Focused on him. Yes, the storms will blow. Water will rise. The earth may even shake. People gonna even act funny. No matter where you go, don't get beside yourself and say, is it you? No, it's God. Because you got to understand, I'm smiling at this point. Because I say, boy, you know you must be walking in something victorious for Satan to keep on using people to try and stop what God has planned.
Amen. Amen.
It's what you want. It's how you choose to focus on it. Because I promise y'all, I wouldn't lie to you. I didn't go in there with an attitude. The lady said, y'all, you know, came in here hostile. I said, when has a question become hostile? And I said, furthermore, hostility, and we've been dealing with your company for over a year and a half now, and I've been patient over 4 times. This is 7 months, and I still haven't. I don't think that's hostility. I think that's patience. She couldn't say a word. See, you have to know how to come back, not at the individual, at the demon that uses.
But you got to remain focused is what I'm saying. So don't look at it like it's your boss, Ms. Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking in God, boy, y'all, listen, Adam and Eve was never the target. You and I are never the target. The target is God. So if I can strip, see, I don't want to hit the football player, you know what I'm saying, a smart, I don't want to hurt you. I want to get the ball that you tote.
Yes.
The objective is to score a touchdown, and I need the ball to do it. So, see, me hitting you hard, I just want to dislodge the football. Y'all don't hit me.
Try.
Because you call the Holy Spirit. Don't fumble it. Don't fumble it. Anybody
right.
know football? Don't fumble it. You're not the target. It's what you're holding. That's the target.
You
didn't even know that you were that special, that you hold in the spirit, that you house in the spirit of God. Did you?
That's right.
And if you really believe it, well, then why are you focused on things that are irrelevant?
Yes, sir.
Those things should be reminders that I'm in God, because God, you said you wouldn't chastise me if you didn't love me. But golly, I know I'm catching some whippings, but I thank you for loving me. Look at it that way. See how you done shifted your focus? As opposed to being a victim, now you're the victor.
Amen. Amen.
Ain't that something? Y'all got it?
It sure is. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. DJ. Thank you so much, Ms. Tiana. And I thank everybody for calling in and chiming in, even with the questions, and Ms. Miranda, even with your testimony. Ms. Candy, I'm sorry, Mr. DJ, you want to go ahead and
yes,
play
sir. Yes. Everybody bow your head before your eyes. Dear Father, as we depart from each other, never from your word, keep us in your grace. Father, continue to bless us. Keep us on the path. May something be said and bless each other so that we can use it for edification and uplifting your name, Father. Father, I want to ask a special blessing on the SMB family, Father, through these times of trying, tribulations, and just keep us focused. Please help us to stay focused and realize that it's about you and not about us, Father. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a great night, and we will see y'all on Wednesday for Bible study.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.